Welcome to the 105th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name's Quizmaster Lee. I'm joined, as usual, by the infamous Quizmaster Mark Davis. Mark, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Infamous was always such a weird word for me.
Yeah? Because it has in on the front?
Yeah, I mean, because it's like, isn't famous enough.
Yeah, infamous, I mean, maybe famous comes from infamy. Maybe that's the root. You know, it's like a shortened version or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
in my mind, I always equate infamous with notorious. It's just like just known, like everybody knows, you know, for a particular reason, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. It just famous is like you're famous. Mm-hmm. And then it's like infamous. It's like you're famous in.
Yeah, you're famous, I guess, in a particular context.
I don't know. I guess infamous is more like, I don't know.
Are you looking it
up? I feel like I understand. I feel like I understand the difference. Famous typically carries the meaning of widely known and is often used in a positive manner. Infamous, on the other hand, has a negative set of meanings.
Uh-oh. Well, I did not mean that.
Oh, boy. Thanks.
I meant the famous Mark Davis.
Wow. That what
just,
an asshole.
I don't know. If I call you famous, that just seems like I'm like kissing your ass, though. You know?
All right.
I was just trying to be
cool.
Let's
take it again. Are you ready?
Sure. Welcome to the 105th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Quizmaster Lee. And as usual, I'm joined by my friend, the famous Quizmaster Mark Davis.
How positive. What positive vibes I have now. Thank you so much, Lee.
Absolutely. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
Same. I mean, I would even say less than okay. It's, you know, July 2020 right now. And
yeah,
we have been out of the live trivia setting for most of the year. You had a little dip back in the pool for a couple weeks.
Yeah, and I am now scurried back out onto land. Mm-hmm. For what looks to be like the foreseeable future. Nice Guys is opening back up, on this day, which is January 3rd. We are recording on this, January 3rd. But they are doing carry out and delivery only, and maybe doing so for possibly months. So, back to Zoom. Yeah, you and I are in the same boat, kid. Just, you know, just schlepping it and doing what we can.
We're keeping it going here on the No-No. We of course, want to say thanks to, you know, our venues for basically doing the right thing and, you know, being precautious during this pandemic. We would love to be back hosting trivia. I fucking miss my players. I miss hosting trivia live. You know, Twitch is great. It's fun, but it is not the same, you know.
No.
And can't wait, basically, whenever that may be, that we get to do that again.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a hard pill to swallow. I made a post the other day about a couple of different places locally that have closed, and, you know, it hurts because, you know, playing in bands that play these places and making money that way, and knowing that people that I play with make money that way, and that's the only way they make money, mm-hmm. in addition to trivia and making money that way, and the people that work there, and that's how they make money. You know, it feels, you know, intrinsically very backwards to, like, champion closing up when, and I'm using big air quotes here, nothing is wrong, when people there are all healthy, but, you know, when you're closing just as a precaution so that no one closes, because if you haven't been reading the news, and if you for somehow are just now starting to listen, we're in Florida, where there were just 10,000 reported cases 2 days ago.
In one day,
which is a new record. Previous before that was like 9,000 or 8,000. Just like a steady rise. So basically just being preemptive and being like, all right, well, we're just going to shut down and, you know, try and keep this at bay And, you know, on the one hand, it's like, thank you for doing this. This is great. It feels bad because we want to be doing what we love to do. We want to make money doing it. We want other people to make money. It is a very real worry that these places, some of these places will not be able to reopen. So, you know, if you are local, you know, here, or if you're local wherever you are, please remember the names of these places. Please frequent them if they're staying open on like a curbside or delivery system.
Buy some gift cards.
Yeah, if you don't drink, but you know people who do, give drinks as gifts or something. You know, get food. I know that money might be tight, but, you know, I know they were doing like a Tuesday eat out, you know, like a national eat out day. They were trying to like push that for families to go and get food from local places, you know, places like, you know, like big names, you know, stores or whatever don't need your money, but these places do. So anytime you can go out and put money into local places that, you know, are showing that they care about the health of the community and of their employees and of you, that is where you guys, you know, should put your money, in my opinion, if you can. That way, when everything, you know, when this blows over eventually, they'll be able to reopen and you'll have somewhere to go and do trivia and, you know, the people there can go back to leading a normal life.
Yes, we look forward to joining our friends again at Nice Guys Pizza at Palace Pub and Wine Bar and Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral. Before we get to our scores for our virtual trivia players, I just thought I'd ask Mark what topics you have in store for today's episode.
Lee, I got all kinds of good stuff. As a matter of fact, since you were not my trivia on Wednesday, I decided I was going to give you a couple different choices.
Ooh!
But to give you a couple different ideas, I have ways of death. I have poetry. I have lyrics. I have books. I have wine. I have acting relations. I have movies. I have capital cities. I got all kinds of goodies.
I want it all. These all sound great.
You want it all.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to do some Patreon goodie.
Oh, I'd love to. Mark, in store for you, I have a question about card games, technology, and also known as, we haven't done one of those in a while.
Ooh.
Famous clowns. I know you love clown questions, so we're going back to the famous clowns. Science terms.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed drinks.
Mm.
And television presenters.
I feel a big old zero coming, but
I don't know. I think you're going to do better than you think based on those categories, but we'll see. I don't want to jinx you.
I was going to say you're doubling down on my jinx.
Before we get to that, though, why don't we go over our weekly wrap-up?
Okay.
Mark, how did your teams do at Nice Guys Pizza Trivia on Zoom on Wednesday?
They did well. We had a couple teams come out, about seven teams. The Cousins and the Hendershots won the first round with 22 points. They actually tied with Peanut the Dog is Canceled and won a tiebreaker question. What famous family had a pet named Socks?
The Clintons.
Very good. So they ended up getting one extra point, bringing them from 21 points to 22. Then they also won the second round with 30 points, but they could not hold on for the last round. The last round was won by, where in the hell are they? There they are. Group Fast Walkers with 56 points. They usually play with Tori, a friend of mine from back in the day. She wanted to play with them, but she wasn't able to join them this week.
Toryless.
I'm sorry?
A Toryless team.
Yes. It's funny because her name was Tori Lawless, so it was kind of like you were making a portmanteau of her first and last name. They won the last round with 56 points. So hopefully that'll bring them back, and I'm hoping to try and now that we know that we're going to be sticking with Zoom, trying to get some of those teams from Nice Guys on Zoom on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
How was your Thursday?
It was good. On Thursday, July 2nd, we had our first set of virtual pub quizzes for the month. H-Bomb and Friends won the first quiz of the evening, number 51, with 116,064 points, about 20,000 points ahead of Grantastic Glenn. That's about one good question ahead. Leading Baha Men Tribute Band, also known as Alex from Peanut the Dog is Canceled, to take the third rank position for quiz number 51. Following that, H-Bomb and Friends was upset by Day Drunk Daddy, who took quiz number 52 with 94,790 points to H-Bomb's 94,613 points, winning on just a difference of 177 points, which for our scoring mechanism is like a split second getting your answer in, so it's a very, very close, practically a photo finish ending there. The first time Twitch player K Hitchy took the third round, or I'm sorry, third rank, rather. And we ended the evening with a 90s one-hit wonder audio quiz, which went to Elise, who finished with 152,480 points, H-Bomb and Baja Alex getting second and third place, respectively, on that 90s one-hit wonder quiz. Remember, folks, you can play... Oh, sorry, did you have a question mark?
Oh, I was just going to say I'm really bummed that I ended up going back to work and getting like regular busy before you started doing these audio rounds, because I feel like audio rounds might be a place where I would do well.
Oh yeah, maybe we can I don't know, maybe we can figure out something for Patreon with that too.
I was going to say I would love that.
Yeah. Yeah, check that out on Patreon. And if you want to play Nice Guys Pizza Trivia with Mark Davis on Wednesday at 8 p.m., just find the link in the episode description, more info, or on the Nice Guys Pizza Facebook page. And if you want to play No Nonsense Trivia in the coming weeks, you can do so by visiting twitch.tv/nononsensetrivia, where we are streaming live on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us, won't you? I think we hit the brown note there.
Yeah.
I felt a rumbly in my tumbly.
At least three people shat themselves.
All right, well, let's go clean that up, and then we'll be back with some trivia in round one. Okay, we're back. Mark, if you would do the honors of feeding me a tasty trivia question.
Do you want a lyrics question or do you want a question about actors?
I'll go with the... Ooh, this is a tough choice. I want them both, to be honest, but give me the actors. We'll wet the palate with an actor's question.
Okay. What actor starred in such television shows as Caesar's Hour, Your Show of Shows, and The Dick Van Dyke Show?
Well, I want to say Dick Van Dyke, but I only know that he was on The Dick Van Dyke Show out of those three. I don't know if he was on the others. Caesar's Palace? Is that what you said? Caesar's Hours?
Caesar's Hour.
Caesar's Hour. Dick Van Dyke Show. And what was the third one?
Your Show of Shows.
Your Show of Shows.
I'm going to pour some drink into another drink, and it might sound like pee-pee, but I assure you.
That sounds like pee.
It's not.
I can see him, folks, on the Zoom here. He is pouring, unless his pee-pee is attached to the wall, and he's got some kind of complicated hose system hooked up. Maybe it's just that long. Can you reach it from that way? Jesus, I Mark. Wish.
No. Trust me.
All right. Let's see here. Your Show of Shows, Caesar's Hour, and The Dick Van Dyke Show. Dick Van Dyke, I was going to save this for the missed correction. I think I said Jerry Lee Lewis was on Coach, but that was Dick Van Dyke, wasn't it?
It was.
Yes. You did not say Coach.
Hey, Coach, remember Dauber?
Mm-hmm. The bull from Night Court of Coach, if you will.
Yes, very much.
Or the Cody from Full House. That's an archetype.
That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Man, I just don't know anybody else that it could be other than Dick Van Dyke. And I guess it's possible that you would have an answer like that. But it just seems unlikely since you've been, you know, it's been hot on discussion lately about putting the actual answer into the questions. As is the case with your aforementioned glitter question, mm-hmm, which I think this is probably the fifth episode in a row we've talked about.
Your fascination.
I'm not mad. Dick Van Dyke is my wrong answer. It might be somebody like Bob Hope or maybe even an actress. Maybe you're just using actor as a gender neutral term, but Dick Van Dyke is the only one that I have a reasonable, you know, sus behind. So that's my answer.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The correct answer is the late Carl Reiner.
Oh, Carl Reiner. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to do a usual Carl Reiner question. Mm-hmm. You know, how old was he when he died? You know, very close friend of Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks.
Passed away. There you go. Mm-hmm. So I figured I would just handpick a couple of shows that he was on. And yeah, so Carl Reiner is the correct answer.
Gotcha. Father of Rob Reiner.
Yes.
Movie director.
Absolutely.
Rest in peace, Carl Reiner.
Yes. Big ups, mm-hmm, to Mr. Reiner.
Sorry I did not have your filmography in mind during that question.
Your TVography.
Card games, Mark. Card games. No, this is not a schmear question, again. It's okay. About a different card game, one that you might buy at the store, Uno. You played Uno?
Okay. I've been known to play some Uno. It's been a while, but...
You've dabbled?
I've dabbled.
Okay. Besides Wild and Wild Draw 4, what other card only appears four times in a standard 108-card deck of Uno? There are four wild cards, there are four wild draw four cards, and one other card that has only four copies in the standard deck. Which is it?
Good question.
Thank you.
These little things you never think of. You remember, like, when you first got in, I don't know if it was this way for you when you first got into trivia, because I know you kind of, you know, maybe you dove in a little advanced, but, like, I remember, like, first, you know, getting into it and, like, looking up, you know, just, like, Googling, like, trivia questions and things, mm-hmm, like that, and there would be stuff like, oh, what color is at the bottom of a stoplight?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, God, you know, like, I look at stoplights every fucking day.
Right.
And I know I have a 1 in 3 chance of getting it. But, like, as much as I drive and as much as I look, you know, like, these little things that you take for granted every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, as much as I've played Uno, I never noticed, oh, there's only four of, you know, this card or whatever.
Yes, that is exactly what piqued my interest in this question. Yeah. I was like, looking at the card dispersion, I was like, wait, what? Why?
The trivia man's dream. The trivia person.
There is a why, but.
There is a why. Mm-hmm. Well, so there's skip and there's reverse. I'm trying to even like think of what other cards there are. Wild changes the color. Wild plus four changes the color and has him draw four. I'm trying to think if there is just a draw four. I don't think there is. It's been too long since I played Uno, apparently. To skip someone... to reverse. I'm trying to think of like cards where it would just be like, there were some cards where it just seemed to be like boom, boom, like people just like where there were like bountiful amounts of them. And I'm trying to think if there are any other cards. I'm trying to think if there were any other numbers that maybe there were less of. That would be weird. But probably not. 108 cards. Four colors. There are four wilds, four wild draw fours, which means there's 100 more cards. I can't remember if there are zeros. I don't think there are. 1 through 9. Man. I was going to try and like figure, like number wise, figure this out, but then I started realizing I don't even know how many reverses there are and like skips there are. I think I'm just going to have to guess one of the ones that I know. Is there just a draw four? Oh, there's a draw two, I think. God, man. Oh, I thought I know so much about Uno. I thought I knew enough to get me through. But now I'm fucking even guessing the cards that exist.
That's okay, man. You know, sort it out in your mind.
Well, I can't. You know, now I'm getting to the point where I'm just like, okay, you know, like, am I just making cards up? Mm. You know, it's like, oh, then there are the cards where it's like, punch me in the mouth.
No, that one's not in there. That's a homebrew game. Homebrew rules okay. For that one.
Yeah.
That's when somebody plays a draw two on top of it and it doubles back to you. You're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you now.
Well done. I'm gonna go with skip.
No, Mark, I'm sorry. You might not remember if there were zeros in the deck because there are less zeros than the other number cards. Zero is the answer.
Serious.
Mm-hmm. Yep. As you sussed, an Uno deck is made up of four colors: red, blue, yellow, and green. 1 through 9, well, 0 through 9, but 1 through 9 each has two copies of each number. There's only one each of the 0, one for each color. And the reason that that is advantageous is because in a proper game of Uno, which I don't know if anybody plays this way, but you're supposed to count the points that you have in your leftover in your hand at the end, and they count against mm-hmm. you. Or I'm sorry. You give those points to whoever went out. So if you play Uno, or if you play the last card and you know, get rid of your hand, you get the points of everybody else and what they have in their hand. A zero card is worth 0 points. So you can kind of fluff out your hand a little bit. And if you play a zero in Uno, it makes it less likely that other people are going to be able to switch the color. So they're kind of a valuable card in that sense as well.
Hmm. Well, I was there and I was gone.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
I bandied around it, mm-hmm. but
the skip kind of looks like a zero.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Do you want a question about poetry or a question about types of death?
I can't have the lyrics question. I'll take poetry. That's close to lyrics. I'm feeling lyrical right now.
Okay. How many lines are there in most sonnets, including 151 out of 154 of Shakespeare's?
Hmm. Okay. How many lines are there in most sonnets? So right now I'm going back in my mind to high school English class, learning about sonnets. Or ignoring my teacher who's trying to teach me about sonnets while I doodle somebody that looks like they're a band member of Mindless Self-Indulgence in my journal. Not paying attention.
Drawing Jimmy Urine.
Mm-hmm. Not even him, just some weird background member.
Who was the bassist that John Lewis was obsessed with?
Lynn Z. Yeah, yes. She's still the bass player, I think. Sonnet. Six lines a sonnet. That just sounds right. I'm really trying to go back and think of you know, what I was taught then. I think that's the only time that this information has ever been presented to me was one day in high school.
Is that your answer?
I should have gone with the types of death probably. But yeah, let's go six.
That's incorrect. I'm sorry. Wrong. The correct answer is 14.
14.
14.
Much longer than I anticipated.
And they are it's a very weird layout. It has an AB, AB, C, DC, DE, FE, FG, G.
These are rhyme schemes?
Rhyme scheme.
What the fuck?
Yes. If you look up, you know, for Shakespeare sonnets in the Wikipedia, the note, there's three asterisks that are put behind certain rhymes, where it says for one asterisk, the note changes in pronunciation since composition. Two, there's a fixed pronounced as two syllables, like fix ed. And for three, there's a feminine rhyme ending 11 syllable alternative for some of them. So it is very
complicated. Did you say syllable alternative?
Yes. Yeah.
Phrases you never think you'd hear.
Yeah.
A syllabic alternative.
14. A lot of people guessing 12 when I did it, but 14 is the correct answer.
Fascinating. And that's just life before, you know, crossword puzzles even, I think. You just have to figure. I'm going to make my own language puzzle and call it a form of poetry, a sonnet.
Right.
He didn't invent the sonnet, though, I guess. He just
No. It was around before him, I believe. Yeah.
Mark, I have a technology history question for you.
Okay.
Computer programmer Tim Patterson is best known as the initial developer of which prolific computer operating system?
This is gonna fucking kill me. I know that name.
Tim Patterson.
I'm not going to take much time here because as far as operating systems are concerned, did you say computer operating system?
Prolific computer operating system.
Prolific computer operating system. Well, I know it's not Windows. I don't think. I don't think that it's the Mac OS. The only thing left I can think of, I wonder how specific you're being as far as, am I going to fucking draw a blank here? There's Ubuntu, which is a kind of operating system that is what? Oh my God, am I going to fucking draw a fucking blank? This is going to be fucking infuriating if I cannot fucking think of this. I don't know if Ubuntu would be a good enough answer. I keep wanting to say Unix, but it's not Unix. It's, oh my God. I'm so fucking angry right now. Oh, Gil, I'm so sorry. Tim Patterson. I don't even know if this is right, is the thing. I know the name fucking Tim Patterson. It's just been so fucking long since I've like been into like computer stuff.
You've gone Mac even. That surprised me, I would say. I'd never thought I'd see you own a Mac.
I didn't think I am recording on one now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't notice a huge difference between it or my PC, to be honest with you. I just basically, the reason I got it is because I had a hard drive that had files on it for a band that I'm in for a live show that we did for our CD release show, Exploding Pages. And when I got it, it had been formatted to a Mac, you know, for a Mac OS. And I couldn't hook it up to my computer and get it. I thought it had been formatted for both Mac and for PC, but it wasn't. And a friend of mine had just bought a brand new computer and was selling this one on, like, for dirt cheap. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll do it. And it was right at the beginning of quarantine. I knew I was going to be doing, I knew I needed like a webcam mm-hmm. that we are using now. I was like, all right, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Not Unix. It's called Linux. Linux is what it's called. Gee, I can't believe it took me that fucking long. I'm going to say Linux.
No, Mark.
Okay,
sorry. Wow,
all
it's
that
not
for
Linux.
Fucking nothing.
I figured that's where you're going with the Unix thing. I was like, wow, he's got half of it there. But it's not Linux. I'll tell you a little story here. When Microsoft first met with Bill Gates, Steve Ballmer, and Bill Gates, I'm sorry, when IBM met with them, Microsoft demoed their computers with an operating system called CPM. CPM was made by Gary Kildall of Digital Research Incorporated. IBM, in the middle of the deal with Microsoft, said, okay, we'll take the whole package here. We're going to take the operating system, all the hardware, you know, that you got. And Microsoft was like, well, we don't have a license for CPM. So you'll have to go talk to them if you want that. So they went to California to meet with Digital Research Incorporated in the little house that they had down there. But when they arrived, the person that they were meeting with refused to sign a non-disclosure agreement to even start the meeting, which Microsoft had already signed that NDA. So they left after hours of sitting in this kitchen of this building saying, I'm sorry, we just can't, you know, we can't sign this. I'm not sure if, like, we're, you know, they sent it to their lawyers. So IBM left. They went back to Microsoft, and Microsoft said, don't worry, we'll find something for you. Like, we're not going to lose this deal. So they went to Seattle. What was it called? Seattle Computer Company, where they met with Tim Patterson, who had designed an operating system that was loosely based on CPM called QDOS. QDOS, the quick and dirty operating system, which they bought for $50,000 to, quote, do whatever they wanted with. So DOS was based on QDOS.
Oh, okay.
DOS is okay. The answer.
DOS. Mm-hmm. I was thinking you were going to say Windows. I was going to be infuriated. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want a question about animals?
Yes.
Or about wine?
Let's do animals.
Okay. What animal is alternately referred to as the glutton, the skunk bear, and the quick hatch?
Did you say the skunk hare?
Skunk bear.
Skunk bear. The quick hatch?
Yes.
Skunk bear and quick hatch. And what was the other one? The first one?
The glutton.
The glutton.
Glutton, mm-hmm. Skunk bear, and quick hatch.
These are three very different types of descriptions for an animal. A glutton implies that it likes to eat. The quick hatch implies that it comes from an egg and that it hatches quickly. And the skunk bear, combination of a bear and a skunk, quite clearly. This sounds like a very frightening creature. This is a real animal, Mark. This is not a fictional creature.
It is real.
Wow. I'm wondering if it's like, if skunk bear is like, maybe like throwing me off a little bit. Like maybe it's a fish, like a fish that eats a lot and hatches quick, because fish come from eggs, but I don't know about that. Skunk bear. Bears are hairy. They're big, burly. Skunks are known for stinking. Stinky, burly thing that eats a lot. And hatches quickly. Maybe it's some kind of lizard. I'm trying to think of other animals that smell besides the skunk. Besides my dog when he lets rip massive farts. The bayou. Man, the glutton.
Born on the bayou.
Skunk bear. Skunk ape is a cryptozoological creature in Florida. But that's not an animal. And skunk bear. Panda, koala, do they stink? Polar bear. Ursa stinkius. The skunk bear. The glutton.
Hungriest stinkus.
I know pelicans have big gullets. I don't know if I would describe them as gluttonous, though. Maybe it's the quick hatch. That is, man, I feel like Mr. Fantastic just being stretched in all directions by Dr. Doom right now. Just feel stretched.
Just really.
Mm-hmm.
Just
the quick hatch. The glutton and the skunk bear. I'm just at a loss here. Guinea pigs? Hamsters? They seem gluttonous. Quick hatch. Maybe it's a marsupial? Like a kangaroo? Like the hatching isn't like an egg? But I don't know if I would call them gluttonous or stinky. I mean, I'm sure they do have, like, you know, kangaroo stink. That natural kangaroo stink, but
the natural stench.
Skunk bear. Maybe it's an otter? Polar bear? Are these nicknames? These are nicknames you said? Or are they just like...
It's other things that they're referred to as.
So like in different parts of the world, they're called each of these names? That kind of thing?
Possibly.
Okay. Maybe some kind of bird. It'd be so weird to call a bird a skunk bear, though. That just seems bizarre. I'm thinking of like Owl Bear from D&D, just a giant bear with an owl face. But you said it was a real creature.
I did.
I'll go with Honey Badger. I got nothing on this one. Good question.
Thank you. The correct answer, you're very close.
Oh, really?
You're very close.
Oh, man. Just a regular badger?
The correct answer is the Wolverine.
Oh, the Wolverine.
The Wolverine. The glutton, I'm guessing. So the Wolverine Gulo gulo. Latin is Latin for glutton. The gulo is glutton, referred to as the glutton, the carcaju, the skunk bear, or the quick hatch from the East Cree quickwahatchu. So it's
like a phonetic thing.
Yeah, it's mostly a phonetic thing. But yeah, so mostly in northern Canada, Alaska, and over in Siberia and Russia and the mainland Nordic countries of Europe. The wolverine, also known as the glutton, the quick hatch, and of course, the skunk bear.
And the fan favorite X-Men as well.
Of course, and also known as the Logan.
The Logan.
And the whatever his other name was.
Well, speaking of also known as, I have an also known as for you. This was kind of inspired by your Library of Congress question, though. I tried to frame it in a similar way. I like the way that you gave the date that it was inducted, It's a Wonderful Life, rather than its production date. So I thought I would return the favor.
Ah.
What five-time Grammy Award-winning trio was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame their first year eligible, which would be 2015, and has two members who perform under professional pseudonyms in the group?
Give me this another time.
What five-time Grammy Award-winning trio was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame their first year eligible, which would be 2015, and has two members who perform under professional pseudonyms in the group?
Wow. Fuck. I got to lean back for this one.
They won five Grammys.
Right.
They are a trio. They were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame their first
year they were eligible, 2015. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is trying to remember how long, I can't remember what the rules are with being inducted. That would be helpful to know. 10 years? 10 years after forming? Two people under pseudonyms. Five Grammys. A trio. Is this a band? Or is this a singing group? Five Grammys. I don't pay enough attention to awards. And that's not me being like, you know, I don't watch TV.
Why I don't pay attention to awards. Don't mistake Mark for me.
I listen to so much indie music now, you know, and I listen to even less music now. I listen to mostly podcasts, but I feel like I'm sounding more and more like an NPR loser by the sentence.
So. No, Mark, you're an NPR winner.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
If you want to hear us on NPR, by the way, folks, just go check out our episodes of Three Song Stories. Mark and I both interviewed in live situations. It'll almost be like being out in a crowd. Go check that out.
Yeah, and I was on WGCU, our local NPR affiliate with the Free Coasters. Mm-hmm. And then the next week they aired the episode that I was on there with the Exploding Pages. I was all over NPR.
NPR winner, Mark.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I take it back. Yep. I think I said to someone, I was like, I didn't know it was a goal I had, I guess, until I saw it and I was like, oh my God, here I am again. All right. 2015. I can't remember if it's 10, 15 years, but I mean, I'm trying to think of bands that like I know would have been eligible that must have been like first ballot Hall of Famers. I don't really know how the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame works. If it works like it does with baseball and stuff.
I'm gonna give you a little hint. I'm gonna give you that piece of information. Maybe that'll help help you suss a little bit. The rule is 25 years after your first album debuts.
25 years. Okay. So 2015. So 2005, 1995, 1990. A trio. 1990, 5 Grammys. First album comes out in 1990. 2 people with pseudonyms. 5 Grammys. When did Nirvana come out? Did they have more than 5 Grammys? Well, they don't have 2 pseudonyms. I was thinking maybe The Police, but they came out before then. I think I'm kind of stuck thinking of just bands. It could be a singing trio. What about 1990? 1990 trio. 2 bands with or 2 members with pseudonyms. It's all this like the 2 members with pseudonyms makes me think it's a singing group. It makes me think that it's like 2 people with strong personalities. It almost makes me think of like a super group where it's like, you know, an Elton John and, you know, another like famous person. 'Cause why would you need 2 people that aren't using their real name? When I think of like early 90s, I keep thinking of like the Melvins. I keep thinking of like grunge stuff. I need to like try and break out of that. Other trios. It's not Rush. It's not Primus. How sweet would that be if you asked me a Primus question? But I think their first album came out before 1990. And they're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I don't think. Though they should be, I will say. Les Claypool has done a lot for rock bass. Man. It's like a good amount of information, but not enough information. It's like all the information I don't need.
So what you're saying is you love this question.
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a great question. It's just
not when you're in the middle of it.
Yeah. 2 pseudonyms. Like I'm just keep hanging on that. Like I keep trying to think of bands that have pseudonyms like U2. The Edge and Bono, but they're a 4-piece. They were out before 1990. And I don't know if the pseudonyms are like really obvious or if it's like, like Elton John, where it's like you wouldn't necessarily know that Elton John's a fake name unless like you knew Reginald Dwight was his real name. Man, first album came out in 1990, so they started in like the late 80s. I can't help but think that this is like a rock band, like a rock trio, and I can't fucking shake that. And I have a feeling that it's fucking impeding me. I have a feeling it's not that it's like a fucking singing group or some kind of band outside of the genre. But, like, all I can fucking think of is, like, bands that wouldn't be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. God, this is gonna kill me. Or bands that aren't fucking three pieces. Like, I think like Mudhoney. Or not Mudhoney, but the band with the baritone saxophone and the bassist and the drummer. Is that Mudhoney? Jesus Christ. See, now I'm fighting other questions in my mind that are not the question. Morphine is the band I was thinking of. God. Lee, I hate you. I hate you for this question. What category did you say this question was?
Also known as the pseudonyms. So in order to make this, I guess, a true also known as, you might need the names of the members. Do you want their birth names? Would that help, maybe, as a hint?
Sure.
One of the pseudonym band members was born Frank Edwin Wright III. Frank Edwin Wright III. And the other was born Mike Pritchard. And they are indeed a band. I'll give you that as the final hint.
Frank Edwin Wright III and Mike Pritchard. I'm going to guess. I don't know that either clue that you just gave me helped me with this, can come to this conclusion, but I just thought of another band that might have two pseudonyms, because I know their drummer uses a pseudonym. And they may have come out, they may have started or put out their first album in 1990. Does that make sense? I'm going to say Green Day, I think. Because I know Trey Cool. I think Billy Joe Armstrong sounds kind of fake. And they're a trio, and they've won Grammy. So I'm going to say Green Day.
That is correct. Green Day is the answer, Mark. Oh. Frank Edwin Wright III became Trey Cool, and Mike Pritchard would be Mike Dirnt.
Oh, So Billy Joe is his real name.
So young Frank's family nickname was Trey. He was known as Trey growing up, which was combined with the word cool by Lawrence Livermore of the California punk band The Lookouts, which 12-year-old Trey was the drummer in at the time, to make a pun, as Trey is French for very, so you're very cool. And Mike Pritchard, Wikipedia claims that his stage name was originally a nickname that his friends from grade school gave him, as he constantly plucked air bass and made a dirnt, dirnt, dirnt noise while pretending to pluck the strings. But if you read the source article or the book that that is cited from, the 2006 biography of Green Day called Nobody Likes You by Mark Spitz, it actually says that dirnt was the sound of that came from the unamplified bass that he was bringing to school to practice, as he had been playing rhythm guitar in the band previously and they needed a bass player quick. So he just started bringing the bass to school without an amp and practicing all the time. And that is apparently, according to the cited source, where his nickname comes from. Not that he was like doofily playing air bass going dirt, 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 which I was like, I read that on Wikipedia. I was like, say it ain't so. You know, let's look at this. Let's look at the citation. A lot of times on Wikipedia, if you go down on those citations, if it's a book, sometimes you click on it, it'll bring you to the Internet Archive, and you can actually like just create a account with them and check out the book. It's like an ebook. Wow. and read it. So it let me have the book for an hour. I was able to just find this information very quickly, and yeah,
that's awesome. I don't know if I would consider myself getting that because you gave me so much extra information, but I'll take it. It's good to hear that ding, ding, ding.
You need it every now and then.
Yeah, seriously, please.
All right. Time for a break.
Yes, I need one after that.
Cool.
Please.
And then we've got a few missed corrections, a couple no notes, and of course, some more trivia. Mark, are you ready for some no notes and miscorrections?
I think I am.
Let's do the miscorrections first and then the no notes.
Okay.
Miscorrections. No notes.
No notes. No notes.
First up, from episode 103, just had a couple that I caught during that episode. You asked the question, what was added to the NBA in June of 1979, and I mentioned during that sus that at some point the slam dunk was illegal. The slam dunk was actually never illegal in the NBA. It was banned in the NCAA from 1967 to 1976 for 9 years, but just frowned upon in the NBA, but never officially illegal in that. So just wanted to clarify that. Also in episode 103,
Would illegal be the wrong term to use there?
It's illegal to use, right? I mean, it's outlawed in the game. Like it's banned. I guess banned.
Yeah, I mean, illegal to me sets some kind of like precedent against like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not part of, it's not associated with the legal system. I guess I just meant
right.
It's outside of the rules. They're, you know,
right.
Yeah, yeah, the regulations, like, yeah, not
against yeah. the rules as opposed to against the law.
I think, you know where that comes from in my mind? Watching wrestling and then being like, that's an illegal move. You know, just the commentators kind of fluffing it up a little bit.
Where they're trying to like, yeah, build it up to be this like, you can't do that. That's illegal. The police will come here with their guns. And
it's total bedlam.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, Shaquille O'Neal dunked it. You just see like police officers kicking the door. They're like, we have to take you in.
Oh no.
Did someone in here just dunk?
Yeah. So outside of regulations, it was banned in the NCAA. It was never banned in the NBA is what I mean to say. And then also in episode 103, I overlooked Tina Fey during my sus about the Emmy record that was captured by Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep. Roseanne actually, I guess Roseanne, or I sussed Roseanne. Roseanne and Tina Fey actually won the exact same amount of Emmys for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy, though they were both nominated several times. Roseanne won once in 1993, and Tina Fey won once in 2008 for 30 Rock. So, you know, Julia Louis-Dreyfus winning 8 times that amount of awards. So congrats to her on that. And Mark, also in that episode, you said that D-Generation X, I think you referred to D-Generation, you said, like, I don't know who that guy is. So I'll let you know, it's a stable of wrestlers. It's a group of wrestlers.
Oh,
not just one guy. It's not like X-Man from the X-Men, where there's like, oh, no, there's an X-Men named X-Man as well.
Understood.
Lots of X's. Okay. And then in episode 104, as I mentioned earlier in this episode, Jerry Van Dyke was on Coach, not Jerry Lewis. The Maltese Falcon was not directed by Frank Capra, so I had no right to guess that. That was a John Huston movie. Mark, you said that Olympus Mons was on the moon. It's actually not. It's on Mars. Yep.
I know. I caught that. I forgot to mention it to you, but I did hear that, and I was like, oh, boy.
And lastly, this might be surprising, Biggie Smalls did not die in his 30s. He died when he was just 24 years old.
God damn. Yeah.
Can you imagine? It's crazy.
24, man. Mm-hmm. Think of how
not even enough time
music
to live.
Yeah, well, he was born to die. Mm-hmm. He was ready to die.
As the album title said. So those are miscorrections. Then we have a little no note here from Sarah. Sarah says, hey, Lee and Mark, been enjoying listening to your podcast. Love the pace and all the extra info you guys throw in. Have also been enjoying the online trivia since I live in New Jersey and can't attend in person. This is Saruta on Twitch. What's up, Saruta? Just wanted to send you a note from the Element Rate My Question from 2 weeks ago. if the question was meant to be what other element is liquid at room temperature, which wasn't clear from the writing of the question, the answer would be gallium, which is a metal that is liquid at or near room temperature. Bromine is a liquid at room temperature, but is not a metal. I lean towards the question writer meaning a metal element, as there are more than two elements that are liquid at room temperature. And we should note also that Mike C. also wrote in about this, because he had asked a very similar version of the same question before on episode 86, the Half Write-a-thon, where he was a guest with Eric. His version of it was, which two chemical elements are liquid at room temperature? So Saruta here is saying that there's even more. Gallium apparently is also a liquid. Sarah continues, congrats on episode 104, which of course was our 2-year anniversary episode. Looking forward to listening to more and playing live online trivia. Stay safe during these crazy times. Signed, Sarah.
Ooh, she even wrote signed.
No, I added that.
Oh, well, geez.
Well, she signed it, Sarah. I don't just want to say Sarah, you know. I didn't mean to imply a formality there that Sarah might not have intended.
So for the sake of argument, I looked this up. Bromine and mercury are liquid at room temperature. Gallium, a brittle solid at low temperatures and a liquid at temperatures greater than 85 degrees Fahrenheit, which is slightly above room temperature. Mm-hmm. So apparently... I don't know what constitutes as room temperature. It says the melting point of gallium is used as a temperature reference point. Thus, gallium is liquid at room temperature. So it says it's slightly above room temperature. Then it says it is liquid at room temperature. So
is this on Wikipedia?
This was on Quora.
Even less.
But on Wikipedia, it does say above room temperature, but below the normal human body temperature.
Quora, so. Can I just bitch about Quora for a second? When I was researching this Uno question, I came across somebody asking why there were only 4 zeros, and some asshole on Quora was like, why do you care? Like, just enjoy the game. What does it matter? And I was like, I actually responded. I was like, maybe some people care about the historical reasoning behind it, or like the game design, like why, you know? I just don't understand. Yeah. Like, and that was the most upvoted answer, was this guy just being a dick to the person that asked the question.
I hate that shit.
Anyway,
there are also apparently 4 other elements that are liquid at normal pressure under slightly warmer temperatures: francium, cesium or cesium, gallium, and rubidium. These 4 elements all melt at temperatures slightly higher than room temperature. Francium is a radioactive and reactive metal that melts around 300 K. Francium is the most electropositive of all the elements. Cesium, I don't know what, well, I guess K is Kelvin, huh? Mm-hmm. Gallium melts at 303.3 K. Cesium and francium both melt at lower temperatures than that. And rubidium melts at 312.46 Kelvin. So apparently, if we're including gallium, we have to include also francium, cesium, and rubidium. But according to thoughtco.com, there are 2 at room temperature, which is 298 K, and those are bromine and mercury. Okay. Everything else is slightly above, even if it's, you know, not much.
So it's a bit hazy, this area, but I feel like the question, you know, given that, I mean, if it was at room temperature, that means at. It doesn't mean around.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that's the thing about science, mm-hmm. is that it is pretty exact. I mean, you know, when they say slightly above is not at or below. It is above, you know.
Still some great extra information to have, though. So
indeed. Absolutely.
Thank you, Sarah. And then we also got a no note here from Allison.
Hi, this is Allison, one of your Rumpelstiltskins. You don't have to use my voice on the show if you don't want to. I just had a couple of no-notes, and I'm driving, so this was the easiest way to spend them. My first no-note is about, I think Lee said that we call that multiple personality, but it's called dissociative identity disorder, is the same as, or a subcategory of schizophrenia. But according to the DSM-5, which is the diagnosable disorders in psychology, there are two separate categories, and schizophrenia is a psychotic disorder where multiple personality is kind of debated, but or DID is kind of debated, but it falls under either personality or development, depending on who you talk to. So that was my first one. And then the second one, which is kind of funny because I was just talking to Seventh Day Adventist, and I believe both Mark and Lee, you guys agreed that that was a sect of the Latter-day Saints. And I can tell you that from my conversation with her, it is very much not. She related them to Southern Baptists and the Latter-day Saints. They have an entirely different version of the New Testament. The one thing she did say that they have in common is that they both celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday, I think. So, okay, those are my no-nos. Like I said, don't need to use my voice, but love you guys and love the show. Thank you.
Allison, thank you for calling in. You said we don't have to use your voice, but it sounds like you're okay with us choosing to, so we're going to put it in. We put it in.
Yeah.
It's great.
And honestly, it was a great call with a lot of great information on stuff that we fucked up.
Yeah. And we appreciate that. We appreciate you calling out and clarifying, giving us the opportunity to do so here. So if you would like to send us a no note, a miscorrection, or a rate my question, you can do so by emailing us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Call us at 1-929-356-6966 or find us on social media. Mark.
Yes.
Famous clowns.
Yes.
What famous clown with a rhyming name served as an MC at all three major Woodstock festivals and is the subject of the 2010 documentary Saint Misbehavin'?
Lee, I have terrible news for you. You are sharing your screen, and I saw the answer.
Oh, my gosh.
And now, and now I'm not, and now I am looking down, but.
You already saw the answer.
I did.
Damn it.
And damn I'm it. Sorry. And I could, I had to be honest with you there.
I understand. Do you want to give the answer here?
Yeah, the answer is Wavy Gravy, which I would not have known. You can go ahead and just give me a wrong, and because there is no way I would have known
I'm going to give you a wrong, and I'm going to give myself a big zerber.
Yes, please do. You can give whatever information you have about that. I feel like I've heard Wavy Gravy before, but I don't know if I've ever heard it in terms of a clown.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about Wavy Gravy. Wavy Gravy started off performing under his birth name, which was Hugh Romney, and he was managed by comedian Lenny Bruce in the early 60s. Oh. He even released an album called Hugh Romney Third Stream Humor, which was a performance that was recorded as the opening act for Thelonious Monk at Club Renaissance in Los Angeles. That was in 1962. In 1969, Romney and his hog farm collective, named as such because they took over a hog farm in order to live there. A hog farmer died and all these hogs needed a farmer. So this crazy art collective was like, we'll raise the hogs. So they moved in, and the organizers of Woodstock heard about them and asked them to provide security at Woodstock, which Wavy Gravy Romney, then at the time he was known as Romney still, he was the please chief, head of the please force at Woodstock, asking people, please don't break that rule. Please don't do that. Very nice. The entertainer, Hugh Romney, got his pseudonym when B.B. King asked him, are you Wavy Gravy? When Romney was lying on the stage 2 weeks after Woodstock at the 1969 Texas International Pop Festival, after pleading for attendees to put their clothes back on, exhausted himself and collapsed on the stage right before B.B. King was set to stage. Romney said yes, and B.B. said, it's okay, I can work around you. Sat down and started playing with Johnny Winter. They jammed for hours. Romney said that this was a mystical event, and as such changed his legal name to Wavy Gravy. He has since hosted two Sirius XM radio shows and is a co-founder of the nonprofit organization SIVA, which works to preserve and restore vision in local communities around the world, and has his own clown camp in California called Lake Win a Rainbow.
How feel good is that?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, if that happened with me and BB King, I'd probably change my fucking name to Wavy Gravy.
Hell yeah. He's also the official clown of the Grateful Dead.
Okay, well, give or take that, but
I double checked that fact, by the way. I was like, did they really deem him the official clown? And yes, he's got a page on their website and everything.
And it is true. All right. Second round. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Do you want a question about fruit or related actors?
Related act. Well, we already did an actors one. I guess I'll go with fruit for variety, but can I just take a look at your screen real quick? It's, just to make it fair.
I'll give you a quick peek.
Right,
ready?
Yep. This is all white.
Yeah.
I did not see anything on your screen.
All right. Here is, you said fruit. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Because whatever you don't do here, you're going to do on Patreon at some point here.
Okay.
What country leads the world in strawberry production with 40% of the world's strawberries grown there?
Hmm. What country? 40% of the world's strawberries. Now, this is tough for a Floridian such as myself because we have strawberry production in Florida, and I'm certain that most of the strawberries that I consume come from Florida. Maybe it's United States. Could be the U.S. That is a country. Just because it's the country we live in doesn't mean it's not the answer to this question. Maybe it's somewhere else around here, though. You know, I guess I'm thinking, you know, what's maybe in our similar climate. There's kind of the equatorial band, the tropics. I guess that's where you would grow strawberries. Could be anywhere in the southern hemisphere, from Australia to maybe somewhere in South America, Brazil. Perhaps it's a country in Africa. Maybe it's in the northern hemisphere. Maybe Mexico? Mexico, I'm not sure. I know we get a lot of avocados from Mexico as an import. I know that's also some deep connections to crime in the avocado trade in Mexico.
Really?
Yeah, it's such a valuable export that, you know, it's a commodity that is, I think, influenced or controlled by gangs.
Damn, Dizzy.
This motherfucker wants to poop outside so bad, but we've been keeping him inside and cleaning his litter. This motherfucker has a clean litter box.
That's always the time that they don't want to use mm-hmm. it. They got to get what you got to do. What I found is you have to take a shit in it after you clean it.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. It's awkward at first, but
I'm going to go with the United States.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Wrong. More than 150,000 hectares, 4 million tons. China is the largest producer.
Home of the strawberry generation.
Mm.
Because the generation is so soft, they bruise so easily. Yes, like strawberries.
Just like the strawberries they produce.
Damn
I
it.
Believe the United States is in second place with like 12 or 14%. So China is big time strawberry love.
Science terms is the category I have for you. And this is, you know, appropriate as we were just talking about, you know, heat and chemical elements. What term describes a property of metals that indicates their ability to withstand heat in chemistry, but The same term is used in physics to describe a process exhibited in microscopes, mirages, and tsunamis. What term in chemistry means a property of metals that indicates their ability to withstand heat, and in physics describes a process exhibited in microscopes, mirages, and tsunamis?
Mirages, microscopes, and tsunamis. What a fucking random...
Now, you're just looking at this list of melting metals, right? I was so scared you were going to look at this answer.
Like, oh, really?
Because yeah, I was like, damn, I got that question coming up, and he's just sitting here looking at these metal temperatures and their ability to withstand heat. So it didn't stick out, I guess, if they mentioned it at all.
Or I'm just dumb. And it's right in front of me, and I'm not thinking of it. Which might very well be the case. I need to clear my mind. A word that has to do with metals and their ability to withstand heat. Also used with microscopes, tsunamis, and mirages. Mm-hmm. God, I wish I had someone to suss with. When you have someone to suss with, they'll say an answer and you'll be like, oh yeah, I knew that. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You can build. You build a suss together.
Or you can just steal their answer and be like, oh yeah, yeah, obviously. What's the word I'm trying to think of? I guess like heat transfer. Mirages. What word would be used? I don't know why I'm like stuck on mirages. Can you repeat the question one more time?
Absolutely. What term describes a property of metals that indicates their ability to withstand heat in chemistry, but is also used in physics to describe a process exhibited in microscopes, mirages, and tsunamis?
A process. In microscopes, tsunamis, and mirages. Transference? Something like that? Is that a word? I'm going to say transference. I don't even know if that's a word.
No, Mark. The correct answer is refraction. Refraction. Also used in eyeglasses, rainbows. I didn't want to give too large of a list, though. But yes, refraction. It describes in physics when waves change direction when they enter a new medium, such as air, water, or glass, just not vacuums. And yes, in chemistry, refraction is used to describe the ability of a chemical element to withstand heat.
And transference is a word, so I'm not a complete idiot.
Good.
So it's like, yeah, something being transferred from one thing to another. I guess that's what I was thinking of, like tsunamis. Kind of like my thought process was kind of like water going, like, you know, the cycle of rain.
Precipitation.
Precipitation. Well, I was thinking more like the going up, the evaporation, you know, mirage, calling being what causes mirages. I don't know what the fuck causes a mirage.
Well, that's what that is light entering the new medium, which would be water droplets in the air and cause a weird mirage effect, reflecting an object that might not, or that's in one place, but isn't in the other.
Right. So I was close, but off. All right. Do you want a question about lyrics or about kinds of death?
I'll go with the kinds of death because, it seems to be what I'm choosing anyway.
All right, here you go. Greek painter Zeuxis, King Martin of Aragon, and Stoic philosopher Chrysippus all met their fate in what way?
One more time, please.
Greek painter Zeuxis, that's Zeuxis.
Awesome name.
Very awesome, yes. King Martin of Aragon and Stoic philosopher Chrysippus all met their fate in what way?
A painter, a king, and a Stoic walk into a trivia question. How did they die? Well, let's see here. Kings can be poisoned. They can die in battle. I don't know that anybody would poison or, you know, enter battle with a painter or a Stoic. How did they die? Could have been an accident, accidental death, a fall, maybe. Stoics are kind of like, you know, I can handle it. That's kind of their mentality. I got it. Don't worry about me. I'm good. So maybe like, I don't know, just like sitting outside, succumbing to the cold. I can handle this. Greek painter Zeuxis. Eat your heart out, George Lucas. Your new bounty hunter, Zeuxis.
George Zeuxis.
Oh, I didn't even pick up on that. The Lucas Zeuxis. King Martin and the Stoic Chips and Salsa. What was his name?
King Martin of Aragon?
No, the Stoic Chip.
Oh, Chrysippus.
Chrysippus. A new product from Lay's. How did they die? Well, I don't know. Drowning. Lightning. All struck by lightning? That would be weird. Bizarre. Falling. Heart attack. Old age. It's got to be something kind of novel in order for it to be an interesting question. I don't know where. Did you say it was Aragon?
Yes.
I'm not sure where that is. Martin is European. So this is all around Europe, basically. In South Europe. Maybe they were all killed by a plague? What if it's something kinky, like autoerotic asphyxiation? That would be notable.
Little Michael Hutchins.
They're all men.
Little Michael Hutchins section.
Mm-hmm. David Carradine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Zeuxis.
And soon to be Mark Davis. Right after this podcast.
Well, the way you're pouring that Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
Or peeing into that Arnold Palmer can. I lost the joke already. How did they die? Maybe they were all killed by the state? How do you kill the king, though? I mean, that's some Jaime Lannister shit. I don't know. Plague seems timely, so I'm going to go with the plague.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect.
Or a plague, I should say.
But the real answer is, mm-hmm. is much better. They all died by laughing.
Oh!
They all really? Died by laughing. So Zeuxis, a 5th century BC Greek painter, is said to have died from laughing at the humorous way in which he painted the goddess Aphrodite. He thought it was so funny that he laughed until he died. Chrysippus, the story is that he saw a donkey eating his figs. So he told a slave to give the donkey some neat wine to wash the figs down with, and thought it was so funny that he laughed so much that he died. King Martin of Aragon died from a combination of indigestion and uncontrollable laughter after triggered by a joke told by his favorite court jester.
It wasn't rolling the farter, was it?
I don't know. Maybe. Some other pretty amazing deaths by laughter. A 56-year-old Mr. Arthur Cobcroft, a dog trainer in Australia, was reading a 5-year-old newspaper and was amused at the prices for some commodities in 1915 as compared to 1920. As he was telling his wife about it, he burst into laughter, and in the midst of it, he collapsed and died. And Alex Mitchell, a guy from England, was watching an episode of the show The Goodies called Kung Fu Capers, featuring a kilt-clad Scotsman with his bagpipes battling a master of Lancastrian martial art, Ekithump, who was armed with a black pudding. And after 25 minutes of continuous laughter, he slumped on the sofa and died of heart failure. His wife actually wrote to the Goodies and sent them a letter thanking them for making his last moments so pleasurable that he was laughing so hard.
Wow.
So death by laughter.
Incredible. I hope that's how
Isn't
I go.
Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, I mean, it's got to be scary mm-hmm. To an extent. I have laughed so hard that I haven't been able to breathe a couple of times.
If you've ever been a small child being tickled, I think you know the feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
You just can't escape. And yeah, you're laughing and scared.
Yeah, there have been times just listening to podcasts, but watching TV shows and talking with friends, where I'm just like, oh my God, I can't breathe in. Like, mm-hmm. yikes, but it's worth it every time. It's worth it every time.
Yeah. You'll see me with my phone in my hand and Orson Welles yelling at his recording engineers, cracking the fuck up. I take direction from one person under Umbridge, but two? Mixed drinks is your category for my third question of this round, Mark. Mixed drinks. Mm. Named after a type of coat often worn by British Admiral Edward Vernon, a mix of rum and water is called what?
You're just coming with everything I don't know.
Named after a type of coat often worn by British Admiral Edward Vernon, a mix of rum and water is called what?
I mean, a British admiral. I think admirals is that all navy? A kind of coat, Jesus Christ. I don't know a lot about types of, I know there's a pea coat.
I
I'm trying to think if there's something like a like for water, because I'm thinking if you're an admiral, if admirals are for the Navy specifically, you know, you're out with the water fucking tossing all around. On the Facebook group, there was that Tussie Mussie. You saw that. Mm-hmm. Someone saw Tussie Mussie out in the wild.
Bernard Meinhof syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Or effect. I don't know if it's a syndrome.
I think it's effect, yeah. We'll have to have Allison double check on that for us. Peacoat? It's got coat right in the name. That would be daring. I'm trying to think of like, I don't know, coat names that don't have coat in them. A bomber jacket for like a flight jacket. Not a coat. Then there's like a, not a raincoat, but what do they call it? Like a, something that like water will, like a, not a windbreaker. Is a windbreaker a coat? I keep wanting to say peacoat. It's got coat in the name. Whenever I think of like people in England, I think of them wearing peacoats. I'm going to say peacoat because I don't know.
A mix of rum and water. The peacoat. No?
No.
No. No.
No fucking clue.
No. So the coat is made of a coarse grained texture called grogram, which became the nickname of British Admiral Edward Vernon. Old grogram, and his drink of rum and water would be termed grog. Grog.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So Vernon's 1740 order that the daily rum issue of a half a point. It's just watered down rum. It actually refers to many different types of drinks, but this is the origin of it. Grog, okay. Originally from rum and water. It ended up being a ratio of 4-1. And this practice was actually of rationing the daily alcohol rations carried over into the Continental Navy of the United States when the Secretary of the Navy, Robert Smith, substituted rye whiskey for the rum, which the American sailors liked. So that is known as Bob Smith. If you have a watered down whiskey, you're drinking a Bob Smith, named after the secretary. And grog refers to British Admiral Edward Vernon, the namesake of Mount Vernon, by the way. George Washington's half-brother served under Edward Vernon and named the family tobacco farm after him upon his return to the United States.
Well, son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they have a name for watered down gin and watered down other stuff, because if not, now's the time to jump on it. I call watered down what's been taken. I call watered down vodka. I call watered down vodka. The Mark Davis.
The Mark Davis. Nice.
I already have my own drink. Never mind. Yeah. You can have it.
Yeah, save some for other people. Yeah. We've been blessed with nice guys making us all sorts of drinks. Secret of the booze.
Indeed. All right. We're getting down to the nitty gritty. Is this my second or third question?
I just did three. So this is your third. This
must be my third.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose it for you. Capital cities. What capital city is located on the banks of the Spree River?
Spree River. So this could be a capital of a state. It could be a capital of a country.
Spree. I will tell you it is the capital of a country.
Okay. Maybe it's... Is it Edinburgh? 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 Edinburgh?
Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
I know it looks like Edinburgh.
Yeah.
But...
Edinburgh?
I'm gonna go down to Scotland and go down to Edinburgh.
I'm so hungry. I'm gonna Edinburgh. Edinburgh. That's Spree sounds like it could be Scottish. Maybe it's like maybe it's Icelandic or something though. Spree. I don't know. I'm not getting a strong geography from the name. I'll go with Edinburgh.
You're going to go with Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm. Spree sorry, sounds like incorrect. No, it's not Scottish.
The correct answer is a little town called Berlin.
Really?
Berlin, Germany.
The Spree River.
The Spree River.
I did not know that was a German river.
It is. Hmm. It goes through Berlin, and it goes through also parts of the Czech Republic.
Hmm.
And yeah, it flows into the Elbe and then into the North Sea. It is the river on which the original center of Berlin was built.
Okay. Good to know. Well, let's take another little break, Mark, and then we have a Rate My Question, and we'll finish out our quiz with our final questions for each other.
I'm going to rate the shit out of this question.
Back, it's time for another Rate My Question.
Rate My Question.
Okay, this one comes to us from Zachary of Oregon. Zachary writes, "Hey, fellas. So I just found your podcast about 3 weeks ago, and I'm one of those people who can't listen to the new ones before the old ones. It's fucking fantastic when you're working on cars or fixing coding bugs." So we got a little tinkerer here. Not a little. Nice. I don't know what size Zachary is.
Tinker Taylor, soldier spy. Yeah.
I heard the question about collective noun for cats and kittens, and I know you are fans of click and clack. Here is one that you might like. What is the collective noun for a group of mechanics coined by Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers from the NPR show Car Talk?
Ooh.
A group of mechanics.
Well, it's got to be funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zachary also writes, "I was just going to set up a trivia night at my buddy's diner beer joint when the freaking virus hit. Now I'm glad I didn't jump in without listening to you guys first." Zachary from Oregon. Before we get to his question, I feel like, yes, I have the perfect name for the trivia company from Zachary from Oregon.
Okay.
Oregano.
Yes, okay. Right? Yeah, that's good.
O-R-E-G-O-K-N-O-W. Oregano.
No. Yes. You love putting the word no in stuff.
That one's pretty baby.
This also touches a little bit on Adele from the Facebook group who's been listening, mm-hmm, who asked about how to start your own trivia, which we can probably get into more at a later date, but I think
now's not a good time, Adele.
Both of our recommendation would be now's probably not a good time in general. Mm-hmm.
You could cut your teeth probably by hosting some Zoom trivia or on Twitch, as me and Mark do, just getting, you know, the quizmaster feel down, invite some of your friends.
Write questions and ask them to your friends. You know, to people that you know that wouldn't probably not be coming out, you know, to try and get an idea of how difficult it is and stuff. Right now when it's kind of hard to set something up, just having a bank of questions now would be a great thing to do. And that way you kind of come armed for bear whenever you talk to a venue or whatever. But
get your quiz format in order. How many points? Right.
Yep.
How many rounds?
Playing other quizzes and getting an idea of like what kind of format you want to use, talking to other quiz masters, playing and seeing what you're comfortable with and what you like, is the way that Lee and I both started, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Being like, "Oh, well, I do like this." you know, playing Juan's trivia where he picked up the answers every round. I was like, I don't want to do that. I was much more happier picking up at the end of the round. And people said they liked that more, you know, just kind of feeling it out for yourself and what makes sense to you. And sometimes the place wants to have a say in that as well. But, you know, playing, getting an idea of what you like, getting your own questions in order. But overall, I think the answer is right now, just do a lot of research and write a lot of questions and then, you know, and then just basically have something set up for when all this is over. Cause as we said in the intro, it's rough.
It's touch and go, really.
Open.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for sure.
Open 1 week, close the next. And, right. Yeah, we have no reason to believe that that's going to change anytime soon, but hopefully this time next year, this will all be a distant memory.
Yeah. If we can just get people to start actually giving a shit.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm going to say right off, this is a fun question. I don't know if it's a good question. Mm-hmm. It's a good question for us because we mentioned liking Car Talk and them, but I have a feeling that
this is one joke out of, you know, 20 years of Car Talk history. Right. So only
exactly. Only
the true fans are going to have a chance at knowing this. But it does. Yeah. This does have a good anti-trivia quality to it. Like you kind of have to come up with a good, like, wrong answer that, except it might actually be correct in this context because it's kind of, you know, they're jokey guys.
This is very catered for us. Mm-hmm. Trivia people who like Terms of Venery and have mentioned Click and Clack. It is like directly made for us.
Yeah,
which I like.
So A plus, just
so
right
in that in that way, A plus.
For regular folks, maybe not, you know, maybe too specific of information. I know that means nothing coming from us, but
right. I would, you know, a disaster is probably what their answer would be, something like that.
Do you think it's alliterative? A group of mechanics? Is it like a let's see here.
I think it's probably just a word that's like a shit show, a disaster, you know, I think it's probably just something that's like an argument. You know what I mean? Like a break room. I think it's something that's just disparaging toward mechanics.
I mean, could it be a garage? A garage of mechanics?
That's not bad. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
What's a word for a group of people that starts with M? A menagerie.
Mob?
A menagerie of mechanics? Like a collection of mechanics that you would look at and admire. They would be into that.
I don't know if it's, it might be alliterative.
Mm-hmm. It seems their style. They love puns.
Yeah. They love puns.
They would go for oregano for a trivia company. I'm just saying. A garage,
I'm just picturing them being like, you know what they call a group of mechanics. You know what I mean? Like
a mess.
You're right. Exactly. A mess. A mess
of mechanics.
A mess is good.
All right.
A mess is alliterative. Mm-hmm. It is, you know,
deprecating.
It is self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. Let's go with a mess.
Okay. So Zach writes, he continues in his email, this is specific to Click and Clack, but maybe some points for the wrong but otherwise accurate answers. See below. So there are apparently some legitimate terms for a group of mechanics. That would be a clutch of mechanics or a torque of mechanics. But Click and Clack came up with the ultimate, a shrug of mechanics. That's pretty funny. And this is from a Car Talk letter from January 30th of 1992. So going a bit into the archives
Holy cow.
And, it is a letter. It says here, the letter below is one of the two grand prize entries in the 1992 Collective Noun contests on NPR's Car Talk radio show. If you're unfamiliar with the show, these are a few references to in-jokes you won't get.
A shrug of mechanics. Mm-hmm. This is very good. Self-deprecating, like I thought. Non-alliterative. Solely in it for the, we don't know anything.
Trying to figure out if they wrote this, or this looks like it's a listener came up with that.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. It was a contest. Mm-hmm. Unless the two of them are the ones who sent it in.
Oh, wait.
Uh-oh.
So this is how the letter opens. It says, "Dear Magliozzi's, first a short discourse on the collective nouns you've offered as examples. A shortage of jockeys and a lot of car dealers," that's very funny, "are different from and better than a shrug of mechanics. Shortage and lot actually are collective nouns of a sort, whereas shrug is not. Therefore, although a shrug of mechanics is humorous because of your many on-air references to the mechanic shrug, it falls one level below," get it, "a shortage of jockeys." So they're giving the click and clack a bit of grief over their collective noun, but it is implying that they came up with it themselves. I still enjoy that quite a bit, I would say. But yeah, as far as the trivia question goes, this is great for us. We really appreciate you sending this in, Zach. But as far as like regular trivia goes, this might fall outside of my too esoteric, rule. Basically, yes. It's very, very esoteric and very old as well. 1992, in a letter on a blog. I guess that says that they talked about it on the show.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure they did. And it is, you know, I think this is less a rate my question and more a write in. Mm-hmm. As far as like, again, as far as a question for us, A+, as far as a question, if you were going to start your trivia and this was going to be the first question you asked, you're probably going to get a lot of people that just put down their pens and walk out. You know, it's very, very niche.
You want to read the room, you know?
Yeah.
And he read the room perfectly for us. But yeah, so I'll give this, you know, it's a fine question. I guess for general purposes, I'll give it a B. I don't know. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. Maybe I'll give it an A. I'll just give it an A. There's nothing wrong with it. But, you know, its subject matter.
There is something. There's totally something wrong with it.
Well, as a question on its own, you know.
Yeah. I mean, well, I think that as a question on its own, part of it has to do with the ability to suss it. And I mean, Jesus Christ, that no one's going to be able to. I mean, it's fine worded, but I mean, as a whole.
Right. That's kind of how I interpret the rate my question, you know, like. I'm adding the commentary that this might be a bit esoteric knowledge, but if I'm going to give this thing a B, I guess I would say there's some way that I could improve it. You know,
I would do what you do. Mm-hmm. I would add something to the question that makes it at least sussable.
Yeah.
What
gesture
blah, 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 blah.
Informs
exactly,
you know,
like based off of noun. A gesture. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Give it a
I'd
B.
I'd give it a B, and I'd say, yeah, if you want to do that because you want to like have a fun terms of venery and you want to mention click and clack, that's fine. But you got to soften it up a little bit to give them like something, that will make it so someone stands a fucking chance. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And of course, if you want to send us a rate my question as Zachary did, you can do so by emailing us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or finding us on social media or calling us at 1-929-356-6966.
Zach is going to listen to 105 episodes and get to this episode and hear me eviscerate his question and be like,
"Oh no,
what a fucking asshole."
No, no, no. That's not bad.
All right. Are you ready for your last question?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you the last question that I asked. Do you want the last question I asked for my trivia?
Oh my gosh.
Or do you want a different question?
Give it. You might as well give me the last one. I know I'm not going to get it right. This is a
good episode. Well, we'll see. Mm-hmm. What is dendrochronology?
Hmm. Dendrochronology. Dendrite is what is being studied, I believe. Where are dendrites in the body? Are they in the brain? That seems so specific, though. Like, neurology is like brain. And endocrinology is the study of the endocrine system. Dendrochronology. So it's the study of like a system. Yeah, I don't think it's the brain. Maybe it's connected to the brain, though. Maybe it's...
Would you like a spelling?
Sure.
Dendrochronology.
That little H in there in the chronology now makes me think of time. not some kind of like biological thing. Dendrochronology. I feel truly lost here. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not related to time. I'm going to go back to biology, and I'm going to say that dendrochronology is the study of. Can I get the question one more time?
Yes. What is dendrochronology?
That's it?
That's the question, yeah.
Where's my fucking sus hint, Mark?
That's what makes this the last question, baby.
Yep.
I think part of the hint is in the spelling,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Which is why I spelt it for you.
Right. Dendro. That prefix, I can't place it. Like, study of the past, study of the present, study of the future, if it's a time-related thing.
When you say prefix, it reminds me of when people say brefix instead of breakfast.
Brefix? I call it breaky.
Ooh, brekkie.
Mm-hmm.
Need to go get some eggs for brekkie.
I don't know. I keep feeling like you're pushing me towards this time thing with the spelling thing, but... I'm just going to say the study of the nervous system.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. The correct answer is tree ring dating.
Oh.
Tree ring dating.
I see.
Seeing how old a tree is by the amount of rings it has. Dendrochronology.
Is dendrite a tree thing? What was I going with the, is there a thing in the body called a dendrite?
Don't know what the hell a dendrite is. A dendrite is a,
it is a brain thing. A dendrite is part of a brain cell.
But it's funny because, the thing that I saw says a short branched extension of a nerve cell, a branch.
Ah, mm-hmm.
Mm.
I wonder if there's a relationship there. Oh, they look like little trees,
mm-hmm.
You know?
There you go.
Famous television presenters is my final category for you.
Okay.
From 2017 to 2019, Sandy Toksvig served as a co-presenter on a BAFTA award-winning television competition show alongside which surreal British comedian? From 2017 to 2019, Sandy Toksvig served as co-presenter on a BAFTA award-winning television competition show alongside which surreal British comedian?
What the fuck did you just say to me? Wow. I have no idea. Sandy Toksvig sounds like a fake name. To 2019. So very recent. BAFTA. Not even sure what BAFTA is. Probably a British awards thing. BA. For television. British awards. For television awards. Arts. The biggest clue I have here is surreal British comedian. How do you define British surreal comedian? You know, surreal is such an interesting word. This is kind of like when we were talking about last week about phenomenon as a word that's used. I always bristle when I'm trying to think of a word to describe an answer. Knowing like, okay, well, you know, people are going to like hang on this word, you know, a surreal comedian,
like, you know, like, you know, I would say an American surreal comedian would be like Tim Heidecker. You know okay. What I mean?
Yeah.
Avant-garde, but also surreal is, yeah, other non like realistic, you know, non-reality is the play.
Yeah. I mean, Lily Fig. Monty Python, like the people in Monty Python. I don't know if they're surreal enough. They're weird as shit. Surreal British comedian. Surreal British comedian. Because I was thinking initially Eddie Izzard, but Eddie Izzard isn't very surreal. I don't think. Who is like Tim Heidecker, but in England? Or Scotland, British? Wait, how does it go? Britain is England and Wales and part of Ireland, is that it? And Scotland? I love showing my ass on this fucking show. Starting on our third year and I'm still like, what is the UK and what's Britain? Like, I wouldn't have fucking planned it out yet. And especially coming off of quarantine, I should have just sat down, instead of watching BoJack Horseman, I should have just sat down with fucking books every day. I should have just read an encyclopedia. But instead, no, I just like, you know.
Hey, man, we're all getting worn down here by the stresses of quarantine.
Eight frozen cookie dough and sat on the couch. Can I get the question one more time?
Absolutely. From 2017 to 2019, Sandy Toksvig served as co-presenter on a BAFTA award-winning television competition show alongside which surreal British comedian?
Is this like that fucking British baking show? Like competition show? I don't watch that show. I don't know who the presenters are. Do I just pick someone from Monty Python and wondering if they're surreal enough? Eric Idle. I listened to an interview with Eric Idle on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. And though that was a little bit ago, he didn't mention anything about this. John Cleese. Someone like that. Sacha Baron Cohen. I don't think he's surreal. I don't, an awards, like a BAFTA award winning show. It's like, I could know the show, but not know who presented, who like is a co-host on it. I have no fucking clue. I'm going to go with John Cleese.
Mm. Wrong. That's wrong. Not a bad guess, though, as far as surreal British comics. I would say that Monty Python has a surreal sensibility.
I think so, too.
But this individual is a little bit on the younger side.
I thought
the
maybe.
Show is indeed Great British Bake Off.
Okay.
It's Sandy Toksvig and her co-presenter, Noel Fielding, who you might know of the Mighty Boosh.
Oh, yeah. I don't like the Mighty Boosh, really. Mm. I mean, it's okay. Yeah, I don't know enough about him and them.
Well, some things that you might want to know about them is that they are both huge trivia fans, actually. Sandy Toksvig took over hosting the quiz show QI from Stephen Fry a number of years ago. And Fielding, along with Russell Brand, plays trivia somewhat regularly on television as the Goth Detectives. That's their trivia team name. On the series Big Fat Anniversary Quiz, which is a yearly quiz show on BBC. And actually once was caught cheating at trivia by using his phone to talk to an audience member during the 2015 edition on camera.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Him and Russell both using their phones to communicate with audience members during that. And there was
what?
There was some kerfuffle regarding their first appearance because they were giving intentionally wrong best worst answers for most of the quiz. And the host gave them just to answer seriously one question, they gave them like 22 points, which was enough to actually let them win by getting the last question correct. So a bit of trivia controversy surrounding Noel Fielding.
Well, that's too bad. Mm-hmm. If they like trivia, it's kind of a shame they don't
take it seriously.
Better at it.
Yeah. I don't know if any of it's like set up, Oh, he's a comedian.
We should write him and see if he'll be on our show and he can come here and make a bunch of funny answers.
Well, as long as the other controversy that he's involved with is a couple instances of blackface, which have been rightfully highlighted lately. So hopefully he apologizes for that. And, he is still the presenter of Great British Bake Off. Sandy Toksvig is retiring. She's going to be replaced by another comedian for that role. So Bake Off, they've got three judges, and then the presenters are kind of like the hosts of the show.
So, what television series coming back to streaming announced that it will not take an episode featuring blackface off of the air?
It will not.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I know a couple have. Besides Mighty Boosh, a couple other British shows were taken off streaming recently, like Little Britain. And also an episode of Community was taken off of Netflix, the Dungeons and Dragons episode, because Ken Jeong is painted black to be a drow character from D&D. And there's if you haven't seen the episode, several characters point out, like, you look like you're wearing blackface. So it's acknowledged in the episode. But what Cho is not going to be removing the episode, is what you're asking.
Yes.
It's coming back to streaming and not removing the episode. I think I read about this, actually.
Bonus time.
Mm-hmm. I think it is Golden Girls.
No, that's incorrect.
Oh, okay.
Wrong. Golden Girls, I think, is taking it off. Another show that took off an episode is 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Or, no, I'm sorry, not 30 Rock, Scrubs.
Mm. Is 30 Rock the answer?
No, the correct answer is Mad Men.
Oh.
Mad Men, which, you know, depicts it, you know, in a, you know, a time.
Like a historical context?
Yeah, in a historical context where I believe it's Richard Slattery's character, you know, says, oh, I used to always do this, and he used to always crack them up, and he sings like My Old Kentucky Home or something like that. And he's like, I used to do this with shoe polish, and he does it. And of course, like, people are loving it, and Don Draper is like obviously like uncomfortable and has to leave. But, you know, the whole point of it is, you know, that this was a turning point in America where people were like starting to be like, okay, what's happening here is not okay. And showing it like in that historical context is, you know, according to the people making the show,
mm-hmm.
important, yeah. You know, to show that. So they said, yeah, we're going to put they're putting a thing at the beginning of the episode saying, you know, hey, there's something in here that may be upsetting to people, but we think it's important to show you like what it was actually like during this time. You know, Mad Men went to extreme ends to try and make it as realistic to the time as possible. So,
mm-hmm. And it's good to be conscientious about that kind of stuff, but it's better to arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thank you all for listening. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. You could support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including, of course, our quiz daddies, Dylan, Tommy, and Tim. Our team captains, Gil.
It's Gil.
Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Aaron, and David Holbrook. David Holbrook. David Holbrook. Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Christopher, Logan, Spencer, Caitlin, Manu, Mo, Nina, Michael, Matthew, Luke, Marissa, Justin, Hank, Nicole, Cooper, Sean, Carly, Chris, Elise, Josh, and Lucas. And thanks to our Rumpelsnailskins, Tiffany, Allison, the one that called in, Paige, Kenya, Jeff, Efren, Steven, Michael C.
Mike Chrysippus died laughing at Carl Reiner.
Michael S.
Mike, screen share ruins questions. Do not use screen share when you're recording a trivia podcast.
And Michael J.
Mike, geez, you still haven't signed up to support the No-No on Patreon? Do it!
Come on.
If you'd like to write us with a Rate My Question or a miscorrection, you can do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
And we have a Facebook group you can join. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Join us there. Continuing conversation. Lee and I always posting about our trivias and each other's trivias, as well as information about the episodes, what's coming up, what passed, and things related to the episodes. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please. Until next time, No Nonsense listeners, have a great week.